Yes, indeed. Anxiously awaiting your home improvement questions either by phone or by text. Same number applies to either 651-989-9226. And while we're waiting, let's say good morning to Andy Lindis. Andy, how was your week? Good morning.
Ah, what a difference a week makes, huh?
I should say. After maybe some snow this weekend, you and your crew should have a pretty good, if this forecast holds true, we're probably looking at sunshine after beginning Tuesday and highs in the low to mid 40s.
Yeah, we gotta like that, huh? We're able to pretty much do everything, and this is a week, every day this week, we're meeting with each one of our divisions, so leaf guard, siding, windows, roofing, design, build, and just going over what the year has in store, any new safety procedures and installation techniques and internal company stuff, and get to see everyone this week, so I'm pretty excited about it. And we're going to, then the week after that, we'll be back at it full everything, we hope. We're even doing some roofing that we're starting to schedule here in March already.
Well, I believe that. Had a text, Andy, that someone wants to know, they want to get leaf guard gutters. They want to get an estimate. They want to know how far out is scheduling now, roughly. Do you have that information that in front of you, or is that going to take a little digging?
No. I believe it's in the 4 to 5 week range right now. You know, a lot of our leaf guard jobs, we have a lot of leaf guard sold, but we have to wait till we can do some roofing. You know, leaf guard is going to go on after the roof goes on, so we have, lots of roofs to install here yet this spring. And once we get going on that, I anticipate our leaf guard schedule and backlog may get a little bit larger, but typically, Denny, even at our busiest times, we can get out there usually within a month, month and a half.
And I know we haven't mentioned it for a long time, but I know something we did like 20 years ago. If you want those great leaf guard gutters, you don't have to do everything at once, right? I mean, if you want to do your house one level and the other level, and I'm thinking we did our garage and then a shed, we did it somewhat piecemeal. Again, it's kind of like windows, isn't it? You don't have to have every single square inch done at your house at once. I guess it'd be more efficient, but really, if budget only allows a certain time, you guys are open to that.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of times when people just don't have a ladder long enough to get to a couple of sections of gutters, and those are the ones they want addressed. And I'm telling you, Danny, usually when we do that, the next year or the year after that, we're out there completing the rest of the project. So once they see that it works for a couple of years and they're still having to break out the ladder to clean out their lower gutters, and Denny, most people, we all have good intentions. We're going to clean out our gutters and make sure that they're always free-flowing. But typically, the stories that customers tell me anyways, is that they're noticing that they have to clean out their gutters during a rainstorm and they're overflowing and causing damage. And that's the worrisome part. Water damage is something that we're running into on a very regular basis, almost daily. And with the cost of lumber nowadays, you know, a piece of 7/16 sheeting is going for, what, $34, $35? We're not that far away from when that was single digits, Denny. So It, replacing wood and doing the rot repair, not only is it costing you more labor, but right now the material cost on things like that, it can really be hundreds, even thousands of dollars worth of damage that some one leak or a bad piece of flashing or an ice dam can cause.
You know, we have had questions about it. Speaking of gutters, not to talk. If you have a question about gutters or decking or siding or roofing, whatever the case may be, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Andy Lind is helping you out here from Lindis Construction. And in fact, the question I'm thinking about was it's a kind of an extension from your downspout. Is it a flexible thing that runs into the yard? Or explain that for me.
We have a lot of different options. A lot of people are choosing an underground system nowadays. We can go underneath sidewalks. We have drain tile systems that we can attach to. And then, but if you're going to be using just an aluminum extension, we actually have that on a hinge. So when you're mowing or you have people over and you want to keep them flipped up out of the way so they're not trip hazards or they don't get smashed because, you know, it is aluminum. So if you do stand on it, it will bend and break. The other problem, Denny, with those extensions, if you're having to pull them off and on every time you mow the lawn or every time you're moving in and out of a spot, eventually you're going to wear on that metal. And pretty soon the heavy winds come, which usually is accompanied by a rainstorm, and they blow your downspout extensions over to the neighbor's yard, and here you have a brand new gutter system draining all that water right next to your foundation, which is what I'm anticipating most people are trying to avoid.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I tell you what, I'm getting a signal here that we need to take a quick break. Again, as we head to the break, if you want to call in your home improvement question or text it, either one, same number, 651-989-9226. Well, we've moved up in the temperature for the Twin Cities. We've gone from 30 to 34. We're looking at a high today near 41. But the weather folks are still saying the possibility overnight, at least here in the Twin Cities, of 2 to 4 inches. And maybe around another inch or so tomorrow. You stay tuned to CCO. 34 now with Fair Skies on this last Saturday of February from News Talk 830. This inch or so tomorrow. You stay tuned to CCO. 34 now with Fair Skies on this last Saturday of February from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show presented by Linda's Construction every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, welcoming your text questions or your phone calls related to home improvement. Maybe you got projects started. Monday is going to be the beginning of March, and maybe you do have some spring-type projects inside or outside, and you want a question or two answered. So call it in or text it in. Andy Linda's helping us out today as usual. Same number, 651-989-9226. Andy, a text says this, getting some work done in a rock foundation basement crawl space to brace space between one room and the next and lift a bit with a steel beam. Also having spray foam put in rim joist spaces on the north side and a little on the west due to can't get there very far. The question is, will the spray foam do much good, or is that a waste of money? And second question, also having spray foam in a 10x10 area where water heater and pressure tank, et cetera, are, is that good to do, or is that wasting money? What do you think about those questions?
Well, if you're experiencing a cold floor, you're getting air infiltration in that spot, it's probably worth the money. Now, the way I'm hearing this, Denny, there's going to be a spot that they can't get back far enough, usually because the earth and the joists are too close together, so there's just no access to spray foam that area. And this is something you run into on a regular basis in crawl spaces. So you might want to have a conversation with your insulator about trying to put some fiberglass back there, and where they can reach to, they can cut Thermax foam and put between the joists and then seal that to the ground. So you're not, at least that area is going to be conditioned better. It might not make as big a difference on your floor. And it might be worth it to look at what it would take to dig in more access. We have a project we're working on this right now, Denny, and we just can't get the spray foam back far enough on in a crawl space to really make a difference in how the floor is going to feel. And I think that's going to be our workaround. Or we can look at doing some excavating, which is going to be the next step.
That would be plan B, I guess, huh?
Yes.
651-989-9226. Texter wants to know, have you ever installed downspouts that drained into a big barrel? Texter wants to save the water to water plants and containers. Does anything like this exist, is the question.
Absolutely. If you're to just search for rain barrel online, you can order a wide variety of styles, colors, things of that nature. We have some that we can get and install. And typically when we're installing a gutter system on a rain barrel, if it's not an actual rainwater harvesting system where you can have a lot of water gather at once, and you want to make sure that no UV light or light can penetrate whatever barrel or system that you're putting in, so the water is always going to be good. But we'll actually install what we call a Y-pipe above the barrel, Denny, so you can, with a flip of a switch, decide which way the water is going to go. If your rain barrel's full, you can flip the switch over and have the water draining out. But an excellent way to really get after your vegetable garden is with the rainwater, especially if you have any type of city water. Your plants are going to do better with this water. My customers tell me this all the time, and my lovely bride, even though we're out in the country with a well, that's how we water a lot of things.
Yeah, we talk about that occasionally on the Lawn and Garden Show, and boy, that'd be great to have. I'd love to have something. Yeah, your plants and shrubs would love that kind of water for sure. So yeah thanks for that text, Gene. Appreciate that.
The spigot's at the bottom, so it's all gravity fed, so it really isn't that much more work than plugging in a hose.
Yeah, I should say. Great water. This texter says, my house is all electric for heating. I heard you say, the texter says, you put electric low voltage heating where you are, and they want to know a company or brand. I mean, is there a brand that you use, or just you had somebody do it, or you know electricians that did what you needed to get done?
Yes, J.H. Larson is where the materials were purchased. I can't remember the brand off the top of my head, but I'm sure I can do some research here on our next break and be able to figure it out. In fact, I might have a box or a manual somewhere, Denny. And, boy, it does make a big difference. It really does. It can make or break a room. In-floor heat. And in a bathroom or in certain areas, it's a really nice feature, and it really isn't that much more in energy costs.
Well, Dan, maybe during the weather at the bottom of the hour, you can check that out, do a little homework, and get back to us on that. Speaking of in-floor heat, can Andy, Texter says this, can Andy talk about heated floor pads and if it will work in a bedroom with solid oak hardwood floor over it?
Yeah. You know, we get this question all the time. Will in-floor heat work on a variety of different floors? And the answer is almost always yes. Now, it's going to feel warmer on materials that naturally conduct energy or hold the energy a little bit more, any of your ceramics and things like that, that just seems to hold the heat a little bit more. But your wood floors will feel marketably warmer. This is the only heat source at my parents' place, and their entire floor system is hickory, and it's awesome, Denny. That is still the only heat source, and it's a wonderful way to heat your home. The biggest drawback, if you're going with a floor heat, can be the makeup time or the time to cool the building. So the adjusting of temperature takes quite a bit of time, because if you go up, you got to wait for all of the materials that you're heating to warm up, and then the air to warm up. And same thing with cooling down. Sometimes, you know, my slab can hold that heat for a very long time, Denny. I've been anticipating that my in-floor heat, even though it's not crazy warm today, beautiful day, at least by our standards, but I doubt it's going to kick on in my shed very often today, if at all.
How efficient? I'm thinking of, you know, utility bills. How efficient is this kind of heating?
It's very efficient. It is. People will not be disappointed if they're using in-floor heat to heat their homes. It's a nice, efficient way to go.
Wow. This one says, Andy, I have a rough-in bathroom in our basement. Before I install a toilet, should the waste pipe be flush or a quarter inch to a half inch above the concrete floor? First time we had that question, I think.
I believe you're going to want it flush with your actual flooring.
Okay.
So if you're going to be putting flooring on top of that, that's how high up you're going to want that waste pipe, but I may be wrong on that, Denny. Not a plumber by trade, but I believe if you're not going to be doing any flooring on there, flush is where you're going to want it, because you're going to be putting your ring or whatever type of toilet system in there.
Yeah, the wax ring.
Yeah, okay. A lot of systems gotten away from using that, although I still do.
All right. Tell you what, I know we need to take a break. I'm going to alert Jerry Matamina. You'll be first up here on the phone when we come back after the forecast, et cetera. So don't go away. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, call it in or text it in. It is the same number, 651-989-9226. Back with more on the Linda's Construction Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 34. And good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show here on WCCO. Every week, thanks to our friends at Linda's Construction. Andy Lindis is helping you out today as usual. If you have that kind of a question, meaning a home improvement question, call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226 is the number that works for either phone call or text. 651-989-9226. Let's get to the phones, Andy. I think Gail is calling in from North Branch this morning. Gail, you're on with Andy Lindis.
Hi. I have a family room that was, the house is 20 years old, and when they built it, they put in these, they lined the walls with pine. I don't know what you call it, but it looks like log cabin type stuff. And I want to paint it. What do I do? It does have a slight coat cover of varnish on it. But I don't want to have to do sanding if I don't have to.
Okay. But the wood is in pretty good shape.
Pardon me?
The wood is in good shape. It's not in disrepair. It's not rotten or anything like that. It's
just the wood is in good shape.
Yeah. Well, you can, as Denny likes to say, you could paint a couch if you wanted to. I would still want to rough up the varnish for the longer lasting paint. But if it were me, I'd take some pictures and go into my local Sherwin-Williams or paint store or Ace Hardware store and be able to buy the interior paint. But you're like everything. A good primer is going to be the first step you're going to want to take, and then apply a proper paint, whatever color you want. But yeah, it is a paintable thing. Just know that going back to a wood look is going to be a difficult thing, and at that point you just won't be able to avoid the sander.
Well, I don't think I ever want to go back to the wood look. It's one room, and I want to just paint it to lighten up the room. Some kind of a off-white or something like that.
Yeah. We install painted wood or car siding on a lot of places, and a lot of times it's a whitewash look too, so you're getting kind of the best of both worlds where you're still able to get a little bit of the wood grain and the features of the wood to come through, but it does brighten up the room quite a bit.
And you're right about that. A lot of folks have done it myself. If you want to are you a little lazy or thinking, well, let's just paint it? But you're so correct on certain, in most projects, is primer is such a key to the preparation.
Yeah, and Denny, I'd probably still run some kind of block and rough up the surface beforehand as well. You don't have to do a lot of sanding, but just rough up the surface and remove some of that varnish, and I think you're just going to end up with a much better product.
Yeah, more adhesion for sure. All right, 651-989-9226. Texter says this, Andy. Do we need to put or be out of the house for a period of time when spray foam is put on our basement walls?
Yes. Typically, it's a 24-hour period. Just as the foam cures, there's just there's air you don't want to breathe as your spray foam cures. So, yeah, you don't want to be around that. There's a reason why the people installing it are wearing very high-end respirators. But once it cures, you're good to go back in your house. But it's going to make a giant difference in your home, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. I remember when we had it done a couple of different times in the attic area. But I think you're right. I think we were only out of here like a day. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, in some attic areas, if it's not venting into the house, maybe a little bit easier, or if we have the entire roof off while we're doing it, which we happen to do at times, say, cathedral-type ceilings. A lot of people's great rooms have what is a hot roof, Denny, which is no vented space. It's just all insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do roofing in those projects, typically we're running into ice dam scenarios, especially if it's meeting another wall of the home. We'll take off the sheeting and take out all the old insulation and add spray foam. And in those areas, you're not really worried about having to get out of the house because there's no air traveling into the home.
Yeah, it makes sense. Again, 651-989-9226 for your questions for Andy. Let's go back to the phones, Andy. I think Rick is waiting there in Brooklyn Center to ask you a question. Thank you, Rick. What is your question for Andy?
Good morning, Andy. I've had this question kind of haunted me for a number of years, and I thought, you know, I listened to you every Saturday. I thought, you know, I'm going to call and ask. So I had.
So now it's going to be the question that haunts me for years.
I had a former customer who knew that I was retired, but he still wanted to make use of me and help him on his garage addition. I said, sure, I can do that. I'll draw you up some plans. And I said, you know, if we're going to have all these roof trusses 2 feet on center, you can use half-inch OSB, but you're going to have plywood clips. Now, if you by yourself and your family are going to be flipping that plywood up on the roof, if you don't want the hassle of the plywood clips, we can go to a 5/8 deck sheeting, and you can eliminate it. So we had all the 5/8 OSB delivered to the job. And then he decided, well, I'm just going to call up the city and say, hey, do I need plywood clips? And the city said, yes, you need plywood clips. So who was right? Was I right, or was the city right?
You be the judge, Andy.
You know, I would have to probably need more information on what city you're in, but I believe the city is probably right on this, but I'd have to dig a little bit further. Okay. You know, where it's not needing is when you're resheeting over the top of existing sheeting, which is typically what we're doing.
Well, Rick did sound like he knew what he was talking about, for sure.
He did. He did. Yeah. He did. And it seemed like a good workaround. And Denny, some of the codes on these out buildings where it's 6 foot on center. So remember when we had the polar vortex, and then after that, there was just a really snowy March. I was on so many of these out buildings with collapsed roofs on 8 foot center. And luckily, I was designing my own pole barn at that time, so I have everything 2 foot on center and actual trusses, and just made the installation of everything a lot easier.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right, we've got an open line there. Thanks, Rick. 651-989-9226. That'll get you a text question, too, same number. Speaking of which, here's one. It says, I have in-floor heat and love it, but wondering if I have a problem. I can set the thermostat at 72, and the temperature will read up to 75 at times, and then can drop down to 71. Is that normal? Seems to depend on the time of day. Higher during the day, lower at night. What do you think?
Yeah, that is pretty normal. What is more than likely happening is you're having some solar heat gain by your windows. And a lot of the windows that are installed in our area of the world, Denny, the way the low E film works on the windows is it when the sun is lower in the horizon, it has the ability to absorb more of the sun's energy. And as we get later in the year into the summer, as the sun gets a little bit higher in the horizon, it's going to reflect that sun's energy. So you're not going to get as much solar heat gain. So on the nice sunny days, and this is the beautiful thing about in-floor heat, Denny, is that notice how it can gain. It gained 4 degrees, and the lowest it goes down is 1 degree under what the thermostat is set. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it can keep up, because you're not just relying on the heat source, the air. It's radiant heat, so your entire floor is your heat source. So that is going to hold the energy longer than the air will. So as the thermostat starts to rise, and it sometimes can take a long time before it has to kick back on and get down to 71 because everything in your home is working as a heat source.
Texter wants to know, is there a temperature where you won't do the foam application? They don't say
yes.
Where.
Yes. Anytime we have to condition the area to at least 40 degrees to really get the foam to adhere the way we need it to and to perform the way we want it to. So, but in most scenarios, Denny, we can condition the space and the area in order to apply the spray foam even when it's 20 below outside.
Okay, good to know. Let's see, I know we have to break here in a couple of minutes. Here's a text that says, a few years ago, I helped my mom build a new home in town and move from the farm. The house is on slab, has no basement. The house is so damp, we need a dehumidifier in the summer. I noticed a crack in the concrete during construction, and a builder assured me it was normal. I didn't see a question there. I don't know if you want to comment on that or not.
Yeah, you know, I'm humidity in a basement in Minnesota and having to run a dehumidifier is pretty normal. And even at this time of the year, running a dehumidifier can be pretty normal. I would need to know your soil types and things like that. But if you're worried about your basement, and I tell this to a lot of people, Jesse Treble, safebasements.com, his estimators come out to your house for free and take a look at what's going on. And if there's a problem, they're going to let you know. And if there's not a problem, they'll let you know that as well. So it's a heck of a service. He does a great job. And if you do have a problem in your basement, there's really nobody in the country almost that can do a better job than they do. So safebasements.com if you're worried about your foundation, your basement, things of that nature, radon mitigation, the battery backup systems for sump pumps, all of those things they handle. And we'll come out and take a look at it. And so get a little bit closer to spring, Denny. I got a feeling we're going to be talking a lot more sub pumps. But I've spent more time talking about dehumidification systems this winter than any winter I can remember. And if you recall, last Saturday I started to warn people temperatures are warming up, attics are going to start raining. And I'm telling you, Denny, that was a lot of our phone calls.
Really?
I even started getting them on Sunday night. Oh. I was getting the phone calls and. We actually were going to people's houses and finding that they had their April air systems on. That happened like five times last week. Humidity levels in the house in the 50 to 70% range.
Ooh, too much too high.
Yeah, much too high.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We've got more questions to get answered here, thanks to our listeners. If you want to call in your question for Andy, we still have time, 651-989-9226, or use that number to send your text to Andy as well. In the Twin Cities, 34 degrees. We could get 2 to 4 inches of snow overnight and maybe another inch or so Sunday. You stay tuned to News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour on CCO, thanks to our friends at Linda's Construction. By the way, you want to get in touch with those good folks, easiest number to remember, 1-800-LEAF-GUARD. Or, in fact, if you like, check them out on the web, lindusconstruction.com, L-I-N-D-U-S. Andy Lindus, again, helping you out this morning. Andy, we've got a bunch of text questions from our listeners as well we can fill with the allotted time here. And if you want to call in, 651-989-9226. A texter wants to know, is there a possibility of treated lumber being in short supply this year as was last year? What do you think?
Yeah, the possibility is there. I anticipate that you're going to see some lumber prices start to come back to earth here. But it's a straight-up supply and demand thing, Denny. The home improvement world is a busy world right now, and if the demand keeps going up, the prices aren't going to come back down. But I anticipate wood products to either stabilize or come back to earth a little bit. At least I'm hopeful of that. What I'm not hopeful of is the rest of the building materials. Anything petroleum-based. Yeah, and then that's any of your composite decking, most of your siding materials, roofing materials, window materials, things of that nature are seem to be on the rise. We're doing our best to hold off price increases, but those letters are coming at us on a daily basis, Denny. Mm-hmm. On roofing, we are smart. We purchased all of our roofing for the majority of 2021 already. We did that in December. So our good friends at Beacon are sitting on a whole bunch of shingles for us. Same thing with LP. Same thing with a lot of our products. But we're experiencing some price increases. Luckily, it's mainly on the accessories, the detail stuff of your projects. For instance, siding projects, corner posts, things like that. Some of the things on decking, the accessories on decking that we have to install when we're installing decking, those seem to have been the ones that we're looking at having to adjust our pricing the most. But the base materials right now seem to be okay.
Okay, good. You were proactive for sure.
Trying our best. We went through a lot with 2020, and no one anticipated the need for home improvement materials like it was. And one thing about America, we're a very efficient country. Another thing is we don't stock a lot of things. We kind of make it as we need it, and we need it a lot more than we made.
Here's a window question, Andy, from a listener. It says, will it help to replace the glass only in my vinyl windows to stop the drafts, or totally new windows are a better idea? They are about 12 to 15-year-old vinyl windows.
Replacing the glass probably isn't going to do a lot unless it's a very bad glass pack or you're experiencing seal failure. Now, this is the nice part when you get an estimate by us, Denny. If a window can be repaired, we work with manufacturers. We can get parts from 25 to 30 different window manufacturers to fix windows. The other thing, when you get an estimate by us, you're going to know why the drafts are happening. You know, a lot of times we go to a window job, Denny, or people have drafty walls and just want us to insulate the walls, and it really has nothing to do with the wall or the window. It has a lot to do with their rim and the top plate. There's something in their houses that stack effect is happening. The same thing that caused all of these attics to rain this week because of the frost in their attics is the same reason why you're experiencing draft in your windows and your walls and your outlets. It's because air is moving in your wall somewhere. So stop that air from moving. Usually you can get rid of a lot of the drafts. Now, if you're feeling the draft come through in like meeting rails or locking mechanisms on your windows, that's a different story. But when you have us come out, we're going to have all of the diagnostic equipment to really tell what is going on in your home and if your windows need to be replaced or not. I would say 12-year-old windows probably shouldn't need to be replaced. Having said that, if you had a home that was built in the early 2000s, a lot of those are my that's half my customers right now, it seems like, Denny.
I believe so.
You know, 20-year-old homes are getting a lot of updates right now.
For sure. There's an unsolicited, you were talking about Jesse Treble and Safe Basements. And Tester says, I just heard you talking about Safe Basements. We hired them to work in our basement last spring. We're very happy, satisfied with their work. And the best thing is our basement has been completely dry ever since. And that's a plug for, and you've brought this to my attention that, and we worked with a Safe Basements, a great, great local company. But they're kind of nationally known, if not worldwide known. I mean, Jesse really has his act together.
Yeah, I was at a home show, you know, back when we used to have those, Denny, in Cincinnati a couple, 3 years ago. And I was looking at the basement person there, and all the things looked familiar. You know, really looked like what Jesse did. And I went over and started talking to those, and yep, that's the crew Jesse trained to do what he does. He has patents on earth anchor systems to stabilize walls, and they just do. It's a very innovative company that has, and it's just kind of neat. They're right in our back door. It started right here in Minnesota. But their battery backup systems, their radon mitigation systems, and how they can stabilize a basement wall that looks like it's going to cave in, they're pretty good at what they do.
Well, I should say, yeah. I know we've got about a minute to go. Maybe give us, I know there's still a deal, like 75% off installation labor, right? Tell us quickly what the deals are.
On Infinity Windows by Marvin's, Season Guard Windows, GAF Asphalt Roofing, and of course those Leaf Guard gutters, the only gutter guaranteed never to clog, or we will come out and clean it for free.
I think in 20 years I've never had to clean gutters. Can you imagine that?
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Not like the old days. And how do we get in touch with you guys? Maybe somebody wants Linda's to come out and give an estimate on windows or maybe roofing. How do we do
that? Yeah, all estimates are free. Any idea we give you is yours to keep. But I'm telling you, you meet with my people, you're really going to enjoy it. And lindasconstruction.com, 1-800-LeafGuardDenny. It's the easiest number to remember.
Absolutely. Get those gutters. You'll love them. Andy, thanks for the help. Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Sounds great. Thanks, bud.
Very good. Thank you. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Yeah, give him a call this coming Monday. Again, like Andy said, it's whatever you need. They'll give you a free estimate. That first visit always is free. Great people. Local family-run business. 1-800-LeafGuard is the number. All right, back to weather business. We in the Twin Cities will be in the midst of a winter weather advisory beginning at 9 o'clock tonight till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. How much snow overnight? Maybe 2 to 4 inches. That's what they're looking at right now, 2 to 4 inches overnight, and maybe another inch or so during the day tomorrow. Right now, skies are fair. Nice, nice Saturday morning. Our current WCCO temperature reading, 34 degrees. Stay with us.